And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, the first word. Ooh. The first word also, to say or not to say. That is the question. Also, hearing our own speaking. I don't know if I just heard myself. No, hearing our own speaking. What'd you say? Hearing our own speaking and closing out with the sowing of sound.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then, David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I think we did that in the last hour. Spiritual observations. I think we'll do that in this hour. My life's insanities. The squeaker wars. Come on, people. And oh, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Just give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's television going backwards. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. North Korea's saber-rattling again. Its mission at the United Nations said today that its government will react to a total war with the United States with a nuclear war. A mission press statement says North Korea will surely win a victory in a struggle against the U.S. Admiral Harry Harris, the top U.S. commander in the Pacific, says he has to take North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un at his word.
When he threatens the United States, then that's one level. But when he threatens the United States with the capability of realizing that threat, that's a different place. And when that happens, that's an inflection point, and we're going to have to deal with that, I believe.
Harris's testimony comes amid growing concerns over North Korea's advancing nuclear and missile programs. Foreign policy experts say North Korea presents the most imminent threat to the United States. The Trump administration wants to dramatically simplify the U.S. tax code.
President Trump's top economic advisor says the current tax code is too complicated and they want to make it simpler.
By taking the current seven tax brackets we have today and reducing them to only three brackets.
Gary Cohn said another feature is a doubling of the standard deduction for married couples.
Yes, a zero tax rate for the first $24,000 that a couple earns.
The president's proposal would keep in place deductions for charitable giving and mortgage interest payments. Greg Clugston, the White House.
President Trump has no intention of releasing his taxes.
The president has released plenty of information and I think has given more financial disclosure than anybody else. I think the American population has plenty of information.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin declined to comment on how President Trump would benefit from his proposal. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 21 points, the NASDAQ flat, the S&P lower by one, oil at $49.62 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
What if I could tell you when a wildfire was going to happen? I can't, but shouldn't you be ready anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the pushback that homosexual activists are getting from you, the people.
The reason they're losing their grip on these weak-kneed politicians and these corporate, big corporations. The reason they're losing their grip is because the people are speaking back. They're pushing back. They're speaking out. They're pushing back against this crazy, insane, asinine agenda that the big corporations and the sporting leagues are pushing at the behest of these homosexual agitators, like the Human Rights Campaign. So, the moral of the story is push back. Don't sit there and let this crazy stuff happen that endangers women, children, and the safety of society as a whole.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Use me, 'cause in his hands I'm changing to a servant
of God. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Love that song, by the way. Open before the Lord. Here we go. Let's make sure you know if you want to, you're welcome to reach us, davidspoon at kprz.com. That is a phenomenal way to get a hold of us. We have our Facebook. I'll tell people this. I don't have a problem telling people. I'm not like the social networky guy. Not that I don't think some of it's cool, because look, I get to see pictures of my grandkids on Facebook. You're going to tell me I don't think that's cool? I think it's fantastic. But I'm not smart about it. I'm not savvy in Facebook stuff. So if you want to send me a private message, that's the one thing I get. It's like I am, only you don't have to be live. It's just like, okay, I can get that. Because I've been doing that for a while. So the idea there is if you want to send me a private message, go to our Facebook page, the David Spoon Experience, and you can send it that way. Or you can send me an email, do whatever you would like. People send me different things, different articles. There is something that's going on that there's a ministry called Salt and Light in San Diego that is promoting a petition that is probably by now has already been filled. I just want to make sure it gets done. It has to do with standing against the typical California, we're going to tell you what sex is, whatever you think sex is not what sex is. We'll tell you and your kids what to think, how to think, and where to think it because we know best, because we know how to conserve water while it's raining. Those people there who don't know the difference between a man and a woman and a bag probably should not be the ones instructing your children as to sexuality. And if you're a parent and you're like, I don't have time, make the time. You had time to make the child, make the time. So don't give me that line, okay? So let's keep aware of that. If you want to check out that Salt and Light ministry, it's one that Chris George has had some support in, and they've got this petition. So I'm trying to locate the easiest URL for people. Just having a hard time doing that. Sometimes they'll have something on a URL and it's like 9,000 words long. So, you know, go to the internet, go to Salt and Light, San Diego, try and find what you can. There's a petition on defining sexuality and asking the school to stop trying to do it for parents, which I think is a great idea. And they only need like 30 more signatures to get this their voices heard. So we're doing a little hunting for you. If I don't have the information by the end of this show, I'll have it for tomorrow. Okay? It's all right. Here we go. The very first DDD of this hour, it's called The First Word, appropriately. The First Word. So I want to take you back, if you will, give me a moment. Harken back to the times when you have read Genesis. Harken back, my friend, to the times where you started the Bible and said, I'm going to read it all the way through, and then you went through Genesis and never finished, or maybe never got through Leviticus. Here we go. Genesis, this is verses 3, 6, and 9 in chapter 1. Very important, because all the things that we understand started from this first word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1:3. Genesis 1:6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. What is it that you and I grasp from Genesis 1, verses 3, 6, and 9? It all started because God said. That's how it started. The Lord spoke, and so it was. Matter came out of nowhere, so to speak, by the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So in other words, what we see now came to fruition by nothing that we can grasp. I know there's a lot of theories. It takes probably more faith to believe in those theories than to believe that there was a creator. Certainly, the people who founded this country were committed to the concept of a creator. And when people start yelling at you about separation of church and state, you should quietly note that the Constitution doesn't actually mention the separation of church and state, that those are separate letters written by one of the founders. And, oh, by the way, in the actual document, the word creator is capitalized. It's like, okay, and this is not really, well, what's the problem here? The problem is that in the beginning, in our founding documents, it establishes that the states, the power, the authority, the feds will not have the right to create their own religion and then force people to abide thereby. That was why they departed from England in the first place. And everybody's like, oh, it's not true. It's exactly true. And they went to Holland and it didn't work out there. And then they went from Holland over here to America. It's just how it is. You can try and rewrite it to fit your thinking process, but that's pretty much like people in Berkeley thinking free speech is only speech that they approve of. Just dumb. It's just dumb. So God spoke, and it was. And why that's important is for you and I to understand how powerful words are. One time a minister said to me, and I think it's worth noting, and I will give him credit. I don't give him credit for a lot of things, but this thing I will give him credit for, that words are vehicles of thought. Okay. I think that there's even a dictionary definition that goes along that same line. But you must understand that the power of God's spoken word in the beginning of all of creation, of all of the universe, God spoke and it was so. So when you look at something like Hebrews 11:3, where it says the universe was formed at God's command, if you're not aware of this, God's command comes by what he says. So God speaks, the universe comes into existence. Life is, from our perspective, life is lifted up. I think life existed, of course, long before that, in the fact that it existed in God and he always was, always is, and always will be. We just don't understand that concept of life. We're a little limited. We're finite creatures, not infinite creatures. And so it's not hard for us to grasp that the power of God's word thereby creates and does powerful, has powerful manifestations. How true would that be for you and I? How powerful are your words? Let me just ask you this question. We're going to get into it in the next segment, but I'm just going to ask you straightforward. Do you have a spouse? Do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? Do you have a mom or a dad? Do you have a brother or a sister? Do you have somebody significant, a child, a daughter, a son in your life? And have you ever spoken a word where you knew as soon as you said it and that person heard it, it crushed them? Like a fly swatter squishes a fly. You ever said something and thought, darn it, shouldn't have said that? Because your words came forth and uttered with the power of a hammer and hurt that person's heart. I have said things that I wish I had never said. I confess to every person on planet Earth and all of the entities in heaven and the foul entities below. I've said things I wish I'd never said. And those words that you will speak from time to time, they have a lot of power. There's a lot of strength in those words. Remember that old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right? You ever heard that? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's exactly the opposite. It's usually not sticks and stones that start a war. It's usually the words that go back and forth that are either unheeded or overheated, and then that's when the war starts. If nobody said anything to anybody, there'd probably be no war. I'm just saying. Our words have a lot of power. God shows us that words have a lot of power by demonstrating the very first chapter of the Bible that his words brought forth light and life. And of course, we are created in the image of God. And we know that there's a connection there between his characteristics and ours. When we come back, we're going to examine that a little deeper and even dive into the point where we should recognize there are just some things that you and I should not say. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus Christ told three of his disciples when God the Father covered them with a cloud and said, "This is my Son, whom I love." Just before that, those disciples had seen Jesus glow as bright as a sun. That didn't scare them, but the sound of God's voice did. It terrified them so much that they fell face down on the ground. But then Jesus touched them and said, "Don't be afraid." That's the same thing he does for everyone who surrenders their life to him. You see, we are all sinners. We all deserve God's wrath. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," because he took that wrath for us when he suffered and died on a cross 2,000 years ago. So when you ask him to forgive your sins, you no longer have to fear God or his wrath. In fact, you can begin a relationship with him and look forward to living with him forever in heaven. You can learn more at this website. It's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the pushback that homosexual activists are getting from you, the people.
The reason they're losing their grip on these weak-kneed politicians and these corporate, big corporations. The reason they're losing their grip is because the people are speaking back. They're pushing back. They're speaking out. They're pushing back against this crazy, insane, asinine agenda that the big corporations and the sporting leagues are pushing at the behest of these homosexual agitators, like the Human Rights Campaign. So, moral of the story is push back. Don't sit there and let this crazy stuff happen that endangers women, children, and the safety of society as a whole.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All righty then. We've been talking about words. God's word started off the universe. God's spoken word, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, 6, and 9. Also Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. At God's command, the universe was formed. We understand that there's a tremendous power in words. We know that most of you know this passage. This is not new. None of this material is new. It's all at least 2,000 years old. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power and life of life and death. You know that's so because you know that when you've spoken at certain times to certain people, you'll see their face light up or you'll see their face shut down. There's an expression saying you can open up a person or close down a person depending on what you say. That is a powerful responsibility. You and I have a powerful responsibility to choose our words that as often as we can, that they might be a blessing or an encouragement or anything, by the way, that draws people closer to the Lord. Anything that draws people closer to the Lord, since those words have eternal impact. That's a big deal, right? But there's sometimes where you put yourself in a position where you say things that you shouldn't say. Wait, tell me if you can relate to this. Even putting yourself in an awkward situation by what you verbally say to somebody because you have feelings or you want to support them or you don't know what to say at the moment. Remember, you know what I'm talking about? Let me remind you real quickly. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. Okay, that could be, let me give you a couple examples if you're looking for that. Would you like work examples or home examples? Work examples are you're talking to somebody where you're working with them and somebody says something to you and you say, wow, that's really wrong. And I wish that didn't happen to you. And boy, if anybody ever asks me about it, well, then I'm going to say this, 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 and this. You know what you just did? You just bound yourself. You got to be careful with what you commit to verbally. You got to be careful with what you pledge to verbally. When you're in a family situation, I'll help you out. This will really help you. This will save a lot of problems at Thanksgiving. And you tell one of your relatives, I'm right there with you. You bring that up, I'll agree with you. Then you bring it up and it turns into a family disaster. Sometimes you know what you should not do? Make that pledge. The Bible talks about making rash oaths. You know what sometimes you should do? Say nothing. When you say, that's nothing. When you go, yes, 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 you agree when you say, wow, that's not committing one way or another. You have to learn a little bit of delicacy and a little bit of wisdom in engaging with one another. I mean, God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few. In other words, careful, careful what you say, because it can get picked up. Even if what you say you think is in secret, Scripture talks about the little bird taking the secret thing and bringing it into the ear of somebody. You got to be careful. You don't want to entrap yourself with words. I have found myself I am for brothers and sisters in the Lord. I work at a Christian-themed corporation. They're not a Christian corporation. Salem is not, it's not Salem the Christian Corporation. It's Salem. And there are a lot of people that work in the company that are Christians and a lot of people that work in the company that are not Christians. And I support people. I support their relationships in the Lord. But then you'll find that there are people that have struggles against other people, brothers on brothers, sisters on brothers, sisters on sisters. And you got to be careful where you drop in that support in the sense that if you support one, you then could be taking a position in opposition to somebody else. That's why the Lord says, be careful what you say. This is, you got to be careful in some of those commitments. Not if you know the issue is right. You should stand for what is true. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the desire just to support somebody and then committing and pledging to them when the Lord hasn't even told you to do that, but you're doing that because you feel for the person. Most of the time, we will answer a matter before we know all of the details, right? They're guilty unless proven innocent, or innocent unless proven guilty. Maybe we should wait for the Lord to give us a little wisdom and a little direction. There are times where you and I will make verbal commitments that are inappropriate, that the Lord has told us not to do so. There are stories in the Bible where a man rashly committed that whatever comes out of the front of his home, he would commit unto the Lord, and the first thing that came out of his home was his daughter, which he had to give up to the Lord. It's like, you got to be careful. You got to be wise with the words, because there's power behind your words, there's commitment, there's obligation behind your words. If you tell somebody that you're their friend, you know what that means? That means you're not a work acquaintance. It means you're a friend. And you're, the level of friendship is expected. You got to be aware of things of this nature. It's important for us to be careful with the words that we choose and the words that we use, because you don't want to ensnare yourself into a situation by just saying, uh-huh, and amen. I got a message for you. Saying amen to everything is a bad idea. You better not agree with everything. You better test all things. Prove that which is true. Hold to that which is right and true. We need to be aware of that. If our words speak life and death, then we ought to be aware that our words have a power behind them. And we need to be in touch with our mouth having that power. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but if you'll remember the king of Israel in 1 Kings 22, when Jehoshaphat was looking to hear a prophet about a prophet from a prophet from the Lord, and the king of Israel said, I don't want to have any prophets. Every time they prophesy about me, it's something bad. And basically the Jehoshaphat said, you should not say such a thing. There's just things that you can kind of ensnare yourself into by saying it. You can obligate yourself into things by saying it. Careful. Be aware of that. Be aware that your word, remember that expression, your word is your bond? Ever heard that expression? There is a, that's not how the scripture says it, but there is a element of truth to that, that when you make a verbal contract, in fact, legally, if you make a verbal contract in some states, depending on what the issue is, it can become a binding contract. Therefore, you are able to write with your mouth that which a pen should be signifying. You got to be careful that your words don't sign your name where your name doesn't need to be signed. Right? And what we should do as best as we can is seek to speak as much life as we can to other people. It should be part of our goal to uplift people and encourage people. And when you get into things like gossip, which I know no Christian gossips, right? There's no Christian that really gossips. No Christian ever talks about other people behind their back with other people, right? Never happens. So we don't have to worry about that as Christians, because no Christian would ever knowingly gossip. You never talk about another person behind their back with somebody else, about somebody else, and having that talk be pretty much all, you know, yucky talk. Nobody does that, right? If you are not guilty, will you come on down to the station and say hi to me at the front desk? Because I think I've done that a multitude of times, and it's wrong. It's not right to do. And when I do something that's wrong, instead of trying to justify it, which I'm pretty good at anyway, I try to come before the Lord and go, man, even if I'm not getting it, I need to be more like you. I need to speak what's life and speak what's health, speak what's a blessing. I need to speak less complaining. I need to complain less about people, less about situations. I need to complain less to God. I need to be careful with that which my mouth brings forward. I'm on the radio 2 hours a day. You know one of the reasons why I went to a formula of about 80% teaching, you know, through the show for 2 hours every day is because 80% of the time I never have to worry about what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the Word of God. I might talk about the Word of God from a different application, If I talk about something in my family life, it's not that big, that big a deal. You get into politics, it's dicey. It's dicey no matter what anybody says. I have a lot of admiration for people that can do radio talk, but I still think there's a dicey element. You kind of cut into an edge. If I sit there and teach you about having faith or repentance or talk about my own failures or my own successes in prayer time and in Bible reading, there's no error in that. I'm safe. That's important for you and I to understand, that our words matter and they count. And one of the things I want to do better than I've done is speak life, which is why I stick to Scripture as much as I can, because Scripture breathes on us the breath of God. Watch what you say. Watch where you commit yourself. Watch where you sign yourself with your words, because it matters. And you know what? God is watching and listening, and every word is heard. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to come back. We're going to do something really unique. We're going to talk about that same subject from a completely different angle.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
No one is too troubled or unclean to be touched by Jesus.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Mark DeHaan. Commuters on a Canadian metro train witnessed a heart-moving conclusion to a tense moment. They watched as a 70-year-old woman gently reached out and offered her hand to a young man whose loud voice and disturbing words were scaring other passengers. The lady's kindness calmed the man, who sank to the floor of the train with tears in his eyes. He said, "Thanks, Grandma," stood up and walked away. The woman later admitted to being afraid, but she said, "I'm a mother, and he needed someone to touch." While better judgment might have given her a reason to keep her distance, she took a risk of love. Jesus understands such compassion. He didn't side with the fears of unnerved onlookers when a desperate man full of leprosy showed up begging to be healed. Neither was he helpless, as other religious leaders were, men who could have only condemned the man for bringing his leprosy into the village. Instead, Jesus reached out to someone who probably hadn't been touched by anyone for years and healed him. Thankfully for that man and for us, Jesus came to offer what no law could ever offer, the touch of his hand and heart. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
There's so much tension, so much pain. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This is the type of DDD and discussion we have that is a little more intense, a little more magnifying when we get into things like examining the words that we speak and whether they will hold muster up before the examination of the Lord. Not just the words that we speak and recognizing the power of our words, but recognizing that there are times where you shouldn't speak. You know, it's what's that old saying? It's better to keep your mouth closed and let nobody know that you're foolish than to open up your mouth and leave no room for doubt. It's that mindset. It's like, well, you got to be careful because the words you choose are important. And speaking life is something that we do want to do. We do want to be a part of the process. We recognize the power of words, not just from Proverbs 18:21, which says life and death are in the power of the mouth or the power of the tongue, but recognizing that God in Genesis 1:3, 1:6, 1:9 spoke and things were so. Hebrews 11:3 helps us to understand that by God commanding, the universe is reformed. There's power in words. And our words have an impact on people. There's a reality check that nobody can escape. Being a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter or a sibling, being in any position you are as a friend, the words that you say can lift somebody up or bring somebody down. I'm pretty sure, unless the Lord's given you a specific directive to, you know, proclaim as a prophet, that the idea on our behalf is to speak as much life as possible. Now, speaking life does not mean you never rebuke. Speaking life does not mean you never correct. See, that's the world's way of thinking. The world thinks, well, if you're going to speak life, you can never make correction. Exact opposite of what God says. God says, because I love you, I rebuke you. Because I am on your side, I'm going to teach you and correct you. What the world says is everybody must get along the way that everybody must get along so that there's no standards because we can't use a standard because then when we die, we'll be accountable. It's like you're going to be accountable no matter what. And the words you and I choose should be based or steeped in the kingdom of God and certainly connected to the word of God. And what we talked about in the last segment is being careful not to get trapped by your own words. There's some people that believe that when Job said, the very thing I have feared the most has come upon me, that was an entrapment for his own self. Maybe, but you got to be careful to what you commit to verbally. Your words and your agreement are no different than a signature on a piece of paper with your name on it. When you sign, somebody puts in front of you a contract for a car, or somebody puts in front of you a contract for a credit card, or somebody puts in front of you a contract to buy a house. Let's say you use Sam Rasul and you buy a house, right? You're going to have to sign that document that's in that real estate contract. That signature binds you to the transaction. Your mouth and your words are like that signature in situations. It's a good way to think of it. But I want to glean one perspective that's a wee bit different in that. And that is what we've been talking about thus far is our words to others. I want to show you something that God said to Jeremiah that has to do with our words to ourselves. So we looked at what our words are to others and how we should be careful not to trap ourselves into situations by our words. It doesn't just stop there. Listen to this in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Okay, so for all the abortion people, there you go. Okay, done. That conversation's over. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak, for I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Here's Jeremiah. It's a very tough time with the people of God right now. And God calls Jeremiah and says, before I formed you in the womb. So who does the forming in the womb? God. So when you destroy what God is forming in the womb, you destroy the life God is creating. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak, for I am too young. So Jeremiah, just like Moses, who Moses is like, God's like, I want you to speak for me. Moses goes, I speak bad. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And here Jeremiah is like, I'm too young to speak. It's like when Tugboat Todd played a clip from my very first show. I sounded like a Muppet. Right? Because I wasn't as comfortable. I hadn't done 1,100 shows. I wasn't kind of all settled into, you know, when I sit in the captain's chair, it's like I kind of feel it. It's like, yeah, well, back then it was just getting used to it. So back at that point, Jeremiah being a prophet and being heir, is like, I don't want to speak. I'm too young. I can't speak. I don't know how to speak. And what did God say to him? Do not say I am too young. God did not want Jeremiah to say what he was saying. What was Jeremiah saying? Jeremiah was saying he was inadequate to do the task that God had assigned him. And God told Jeremiah, don't say that. Wow. How many times have you said something about yourself that the Lord has led you towards a direction and you say something about yourself cutting your own legs out? How many times have I done that thinking there's no way I can do it? There's no way I can pull it up. How many times have I spoken against myself to myself? I'm not talking about positive speech. I'm talking about speech that's undermining my own activity that I'm speaking to myself. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I can't say it enough for those people out there. I don't believe in it. No name it and claim it. No prosperity gospel. Not happening. The Lord blesses you great. You better be a good steward. You're going to have that much more to be accountable for. But in this circumstance, when Jeremiah, being called as a prophet, speaks against himself, God says, be quiet. Stop talking. What's the phrase we would use that's too rude to use? What's that phrase? Shut up? Is that the phrase that people use? Like, don't say it. It's like, stop it. You know what we say? We say www.zipit.com. Like, okay, you got two ears, one mouth. Do the math, right? What does that mean? Well, it means you should probably listen twice as much as you speak. Now, I have really big ears, so I have a lot of room. But here's the thing you got to get, that we can undercut ourselves, and the Lord doesn't like that. And, oh, in case you're looking for New Testament reference, and I know you are, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, Paul said, we also believe, and therefore we speak. In other words, we should be speaking what we believe. If you believe that you are unwarranted for the task and you speak that to yourself, it's pretty clear God's going to tell you, stop that. I gave you a call. I gave you a position. I gave you a responsibility. You're not going to get out of it by going, I get that, my doc. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if you can speak eloquently. Only the world cares. The Holy Spirit moves through so many different vehicles. He doesn't need you to speak perfectly. He just needs you to be willing. And in many of these cases, we speak against ourselves. I think we have so much warfare going on. Maybe we shouldn't add to our own warfare. Call me crazy. Maybe we should make it harder for ourselves. Maybe we should think of it in these terms. When we speak against ourselves, we're just adding more weight to the burden that we're carrying. That doesn't seem like a good idea. I can barely do my weights now. Now I got to add more weight? No. So the idea is to follow what the Lord says. Don't say that. I've called you. I've put you in this. So why I'm saying this is because there's some of you out there that the Lord has burdened you to do things and you have talked yourself into disobedience. Well, I can't do that. I'm older. Well, I can't do that. I'm not trained. Really? I thought it was I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me check. Oh, wait. There it is. Philippians 4:13. Yep. It's there. You can do that. Stop talking yourself out of it and stop talking yourself down. You need to be encouraging other people when you talk, not be gossiping, not be talking behind their back, making sure you're not trapping yourself by your own words. But don't trap yourself in your own defeat by your own words either. That's not good either. All right, when we come back, we're going to close it out with the sowing of sound. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's breaking me in two.
Station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the pushback that homosexual activists are getting from you, the people.
The reason they're losing their grip on these weak-kneed politicians and these corporate, big corporations, the reason they're losing their grip is because the people are speaking back. They're pushing back. They're speaking out. They're pushing back against this crazy, insane, asinine agenda that the big corporations and the sporting leagues are pushing at the behest of these homosexual agitators, like the Human Rights Campaign. So, the moral of the story is push back. Don't sit there and let this crazy stuff happen that endangers women, children, and the safety of society as a whole.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have spent this last hour talking about the power of words, winning the war with words, so to speak. We understand there is great power in words, as we understand that the universe was created by God's very word coming forth from him. We see that in Genesis 1:3, 1:6, 1:9. We see it in Hebrews 11:3. We understand death and life are in the power of the tongue. We understand that we need to be careful not trapping ourselves by the things that we say. And then we just took a look at Jeremiah chapter 1, where Jeremiah spoke against himself. And God said, don't say that. Don't say things like that. When we're people that are supposed to speak life, it is really that we're supposed to speak. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It doesn't say prop people up, because that's not based on people's needs. Propping has to do a little bit more with flesh. It's like, hey, build people up by what you say. I would challenge you, and I've done this before, and I'll do it again. On this day, I would challenge you in the next 72 hours, specifically say one thing to somebody, even if it's somebody you know, that is building them up, that is lifting them up towards the Lord. One thing. Anything at all. And, you know, it could even be, you know, I want to pray for you. Because when people hear that people want to pray for them, it's a blessing. Did you know when people say to me, I'm praying for you and your family, that matters. Does it matter to me that they execute that with candles and mantras and smoke? No. They're just saying, I'm going to pray for you and your family. Awesome, man. Who doesn't need that? That's a thing that can build people up. In Proverbs 25:11, it says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. I always like closing with this because I love this portion. So you'll understand this, especially those that have had this experience, which is every single one of you, where sometimes you have said something in a moment that another person has heard and they've gone, whoa. It's almost like you were a vessel at the moment. And even sometimes you would even say, wow, that was beyond me. That was beyond my capacity to say it. I mean, that was just something that was better than I am. And that's what it is when a word is spoken in the right circumstance and you know that your word has an impact and it can help somebody. That's sowing the right sound. And if, I mean, if you think about it, Tugboat Todd, if you think about it, have you ever spoken something and you thought, wow, was that me that just spoke that? So that's it's important to catch that you understand that there's moments when you speak that you will be used as a vessel or a vehicle, and it's beyond you. That means you are presenting yourself to be a vessel that God can use to speak. And when you speak and the words are like silver or like gold in the right circumstance at the right time, you see the impact that those words have on people.
I see now. Sometimes my words are more like copper, though.
Well, that's true. But that's true for a lot of people, right? Some people, but there is always a time where you'll say something and people will go, man, that's exactly, you ever heard that expression? That's exactly what I needed to hear. Ever that? That expression is that manifestation of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Guess what? You can have that happen a lot more if you tell the Lord, hey, I want to be used by you. I want to be a vessel that you speak through. You don't have to say it well to say it right. And that's the big difference. The big difference is you have to just be available for the Lord to use. So it's important for us to grasp the power of words, the impact of words. And again, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let's make sure we understand it, that the words that we speak are helpful for building others up. So the next time you're in a situation, even if it means correction, as long as it's there for building somebody up, as long as you're not using your words to tear people apart. I think that's one of the bad things that's going on in cable television and in broadcast television, in broadcast radio, in specific serious radio, in different realms, is the whole premise of the shows is to rip the shreds out of the other person as opposed to helping people draw closer into the Lord, draw closer into the right things. This is not, you know, taking a stand when we're talking about the kingdom of God. This is walking in concert with God. And you can tell if you're walking in concert with God, we have a pretty good guide. It's called the Word of God. And fellowship also gives you an understanding of what those parameters are. So the words that you speak, that's all I'm going to ask you. It's the challenge of the day, maybe the challenge of the week. Speak one thing into somebody's life that's uplifting. Do it purposefully. Do it specifically. Desire it to be impacting because your words have power. God has blessed you by having a relationship with him. Use some of those power words that he's put into you to bless people. You know, it's going to come down to this. I don't want to do this legalistically. That's the struggle I have in stuff like this. You're never going to do this perfectly. You know, you understand what James chapter 3 talks about in regards to the power of the tongue. You understand that. Just come before the Lord and ask him to help you. Come before the Lord and ask him to guide you, to direct you, to give you the words that you may speak life, that you may speak encouragement, that you may lift people up. I want to thank the people out in the audience. I want to thank the people that have spoken to me time and time again, spoken life. And therein lies the key. The key is speak life. Not speak ripping people to shreds. If you want to just rip somebody to shreds, just stay in the sports realm and have fun at it, but don't make it serious. You know, like I talk about Ohio State Ron and the fact that his team's a loser team. I mean, that's the kind of fun stuff you can say. What I would also say is Ron is a friend of mine. I love him in the Lord. Now that is life-giving. On the one hand, I can insult his team. On the other hand, I can tell him what a great guy he is. He's a great Christian brother. Just got lousy taste in college football teams. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's pretty simple. All right, folks, we're wrapping it up there. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break in 22 hours. That's not too short. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.